Welcome to KMXT's Talk of the Rock, our local community affairs program, where we explore issues and organizations related to our community. Talk of the Rock is hosted by members of the KMXT news team.
You're listening to Talk of the Rock here on KMXT. I'm your host, Davis Hovey. And with me, I have two guests today in the studio, and I'm going to let them introduce themselves. But just a heads up, we are talking about the Historic Preservation Commission here in Kodiak. So that gives you a little bit of context. Let's start with you, Pat. Could you introduce yourself, please?
Pat Branson. I'm the former mayor, just recently retired from the city of Kodiak, and was on board when the city council approved the Historic Preservation Commission resolution. Josie Banky brought it forward, but anyway, we'll get into that history later. That's who I am.
Thank you. And our other guest, Molly.
My name is Molly O'Dell. I'm the chair of the Historic Preservation Commission for the city of Kodiak.
Wonderful. Pleasure to have you both. And as Pat kind of alluded to there, yeah, the Historic Preservation Commission was created in 2021. There's about, 10 members, including, you know, the ex officio's mayor and a couple alternates, which is great, a very involved group. Mm-hmm. How would you two sort of describe the goal, the purpose of the commission? What does the Historic Preservation Commission do? Whoever wants to start.
Well, Kodiak is such a historic place, going back with the Aleutic people and then the colonization with the Russians, first Russian-American capital here, but with the Aleutic people, 10,000 years. It's amazing that we hadn't had this before. And, you go to these state conferences and other communities are really bragging about their history, and I don't think Kodiak's taken up that brand and really let the community know and receive the input and stories from people. So this is a plan for everybody, and if you look at the plan, you can read all about the surveys and responses that people put forth and the stories. I know just sitting on the commission, the stories that have come forth from the different commission members. And certainly at the open houses that have happened are really just wonderful to hear about and learn about and know about. And it's for all the residents here in Kodiak. It's a city commission, but I know the commission's talked about expanding it to and working with the borough as well.
Molly, did you have anything to add about, you know, what the Historic Preservation Commission does and your role on it?
Yeah, I think, you know, the big role of the HPC, the Historic Preservation Commission, is to provide guidance to the city on historic preservation. And so, the footprint of the city is actually pretty small, so that's why there has been some discussion about expanding to work with the borough as well. But that's a conversation for the future. That's not right now. But, you know, there's so much that happens in our city, and there's history all around us. And I think in a lot of cases, we're not really thinking about it. And so the Historic Preservation Commission's role is sort of to bring the history to the forefront for the city and for the community members and to listen to voices from the community for what's important to us as a community, what parts of our history are important to preserve. And I'm not just talking about physical places or buildings, but I'm talking about stories and events and things that sort of make our community what it is. And I think we all recognize that we can't preserve every historic building that exists or every archaeological site or protect every archaeological site from coastal erosion. But we can think about the ways that we can preserve those stories, even if we can't preserve the physical place.
I think that's real important, if I might, Davis. What Molly is mentioning is that it's not just about the architecture in our community. And we do have some historic buildings, and I know the commission is working on that as well, in bringing those forward for approval with the National Historic Register, something like that, right, Molly? I'm looking to Molly.
National Register of Historic Places.
There we go. And the city owns the Griffin Building now, and there are other buildings as well. But I think it's, and I know I've heard this from commission members, it's about stories and people and preserving those for ourselves now and future generations as well. We have one commission member who is really adamant about oral histories, and I think that's really important. That's part of the plan as well, to have that. I mean, there are some of those stories that have been recorded, but certainly a lot more that need to be.
Sure. And I'll touch on that too before we really dive into this plan. But as you both have mentioned, yeah, it's about preserving not just the physical buildings, but cultural traditions, oral histories, language, memories, and just connection to this community over time. Molly, I know you also wear another hat with the Aleutic Museum, of course, but the Aleutic Museum has brought in different ways to capture oral histories and preserve those types of things as well. Do you think the HPC will use some of those methods going forward as well? I mean, what are you envisioning for when you talk about preserving oral histories and language and culture?
Yeah, that's a great question. And so in my professional job, I work at the Aleutic Museum as an archaeologist, and the Aleutic Museum does have a lot of oral histories in its collections, both ones that our staff collected since the museum opened in 1995, but also older oral histories that were collected from other researchers. And the Kodiak History Museum, the Kodiak Maritime Museum, they also have had oral history projects. And so we are really lucky to live in a town with so many museums. You know, we also have the Military History Museum and the Wildlife Refuge Visitor Center downtown. So we are lucky to have all of these institutions that are already sort of doing this kind of work. But the commission for the city really sort of takes the picture to the next level of looking at the history of our community holistically, you know? And so I think one of the roles of the commission is to sort of figure out what the community's priorities are and then figure out who can do the work, who can do the projects. Because the commission itself isn't going to do a big project, but it can help figure out, like, is there a specific oral history theme that's really important that hasn't been recorded before? And what would be the right museum or the right institution to take on that project? You know, is there an interpretive project that could be really important? Is there a historic building that should be nominated to the National Register of Historic Places? And that's one that's moving forward right now, the Griffin Memorial Hospital building downtown. That is being nominated to the National Register. So they're sort of bringing things together to have sort of a strategic focus so that it's not just, you know, isolated projects here and there, but there's sort of an overarching priorities and themes.
So, Davison, for the community, the Historic Commission was set up with intentional seats and representing different sectors. Molly, I think you represent, what do you represent?
I serve as the anthropologist.
The anthropologist.
Yeah, the state Historic Preservation Office, they administer the Certified Local Government Program for the state. And so there are required professional seats on the commission. And there has to be an anthropologist, an architectural historian or architect, and a historian.
And a historian. And then we have community members that are serving, have interests, and then we have the alternates as well. So the process for becoming a commission member is through the city's website and their application process that usually runs through December, those seats in different years. So I just want to talk about the plan here. I'm looking at the plan and what it does. So we have that commission that they meet every month, I believe. Isn't that correct, Molly? Other month? Something like that.
Yeah, I would say on average every other month. Yeah, we're required to meet twice a year, but usually we meet
more
frequently.
Meet more than that. Yeah, or we have, especially in contracting with this professional company, and I'm just amazed at what they did in putting this all together. And what a gem of a job that would be to be part of that company to do this, and that's your focus. Anyway, they do great work around the state. And so what this plan does, and I'm reading from the commission document, the Historic Preservation Plan, and this is at the library. You can check it out or certainly see one of the commissioners that have one or the city clerk. But what this is a foundation for providing a shared understanding. I'm just going to read this from the plan.
Please, yeah.
A shared understanding of Kodiak's historic and cultural landscape, which takes into those things that you mentioned, Davis. Local strategies and actions to identify, interpret, and protect resources that Molly was mentioning. It's a practical guidance for city departments, the commission itself, and the public. And it's a tool for connecting preservation with planning, housing, tourism, and education, taking all those things in The commission has set up some goals. We've talked about a website and having that separate from the city's website. I think that's real important. So it's meant for residents, planners, working with the borough planning department as well, community development. But that's the basic foundation of the plan. And it's, how many pages is it? It's
450, I counted. It is comprehensive.
The printed one is
235.
The printed one is 235.
So the online version is longer. My apologies. Yeah.
No, that's okay.
But I'm glad to know there is a printed version available at the library, because I was going off of the online version, which is at the City of Kodiak's website in its news section, which Pat alluded to. You can certainly purview on your own. Very comprehensive, lots of interesting information. And I do want to talk a little bit about the way this was put together, as you two were sort of alluding to. A lot of the pre-work was done, I guess I'll say, in 2024, right? Because you had listening sessions, open houses, storytelling events, surveys that went out, and you were collecting responses from folks. And you did, as a commission, you also did walking tours, I understand. So could you kind of talk about this process and what it was like for you personally as you were putting this document together?
Yeah, the city got a grant from the State Historic Preservation Office from the Historic Preservation Fund to complete this historic preservation plan. And so there was a match from the city for the grant. And then the city contracted True North Sustainable Development Solutions. They're a cultural resource firm based up in Wasilla, and they specialize in historic preservation planning around the state of Alaska. So they were really a great match for what we were looking for. And so they sent their team down here on two different trips, I think, to host the public, the open houses, and meet with commissioners, and then meet with stakeholders in the community. And so the commissioners all had input on who they should meet with and tried to set up walking tours for them. And I took them on a walking tour as well. So there was, we were working with consultants, but the commissioners had opportunities to review every section of the plan and provide feedback. And so there was a big public input component. But one thing to remember about this plan is it's not, you know, this is a plan that's going to be updated. This is the first plan our city has ever had that addresses historical resources. And so it didn't cover everything it could possibly cover. There are some gaps. There were some gaps in the public outreach that we know we just weren't able to reach certain groups or people in the time that was available. And so there's always things that we want to expand on or improve for next time, because this will be updated in the future, and it probably will be updated many times. So this is like our first working document that really gets us kicked off into historic preservation planning for our city.
It's a foundation and a first. And so I just want to talk about the takeaways from the Kodiak residents, if I might.
Sure, please.
For the surveys and the walk-arounds and the people who have shown up at the commission meetings and provided input. So these are the key takeaways from the residents with the public engagement that went on. The preservation is cultural, not just architectural. That's what we talked about. Community identity is multi-layered and diverse. That's one thing about that really shines for Kodiak is our diversity. Underrepresented histories need recognition and respect. So as Molly was saying, this is just a plan, and certainly will be added to, and that's what should happen. Storytelling is a powerful tool for preservation. That's one thing I've certainly learned in sitting on the commission from the beginning, is that all the storytelling, when we have open houses and you have people show up who were born in the Griffin Memorial Hospital and telling their stories and about their families, but remembering it in that scenario, it's really interesting. Preservation should support broader community goals, and there are goals that the commission has set up. Again, those are just the start of it. Trust, access, and inclusion must be built into the process. And the whole island is part of the Kodiak story, not just the city. And as we talked about that, looking at certainly what's happened on the other parts of the island outside of the city is real history. So it needs to be taken into account.
Right. Yeah. I mean, again, you know, the length of this document and the comprehensive nature still doesn't nearly include all of it, as you both have said. There's so much more history, not just in the city, but also on the whole island and the archipelago. With that in mind, it seems like some of the action items, the goals include maybe facilitating more storytelling, providing opportunities for open houses and folks to share more of their history and help sort of weave into this bigger narrative and picture. Does the commission have plans for next steps, I guess, or something that could be coming up in the near future?
Yeah, the public outreach is always ongoing, and we do have the Kodiak History Museum put together a like a kit that we can take to events with like a banner and some handouts and stuff. So commissioners have taken that. You may have seen us at some community events. So if you are organizing an event or you know about an event where you think it might be nice to have a little pop-up table with information about the Historic Preservation Commission, get in touch with us. On the City of Kodiak website, there's a page for the local commissions, and all of the commissioners, our contact information is on there. But yeah, we'd love to take that to events. So just get the word out there and chat with people.
And we were at the Craft Festival, and we've been at several events at the Marketplace as well, and at the school, which is really important. We certainly want that outreach to occur. I think we were there the first in-service that they had. We had our pop-up that Molly just described for students. And one of the things that resonates with me in the last few discussions at the commission is having that outreach and how important it is. What is this commission? What is just another group that has a plan on the shelf? And it's, no, it's not. It's very active, and there are pages of goals, but that outreach really was an important discussion in the last few meetings at the commission.
Yep, and the city is working on getting the webpage up, like Pat mentioned. So there is going to be a website within the next couple of months up on the city's website that has this plan in PDFs that people can view online and has information, and we can add to it as we go. You know, it'll be a living website. And we do have a meeting tomorrow. All of the Historic Preservation Commission meetings are open public meetings, so anybody is welcome to either watch online or come in person. And there is a public comment period at the beginning and at the end of the meeting. So our meeting tomorrow is at noon in the Kodiak Public Library multipurpose room.
And I'll come back to that, too, because there were a couple of things on the agenda that if we have time for, I'd love to highlight as well. But talking about this historic preservation plan, the first of its kind, this document, as you've both said, is really for anybody, everyone in this community. And I also saw that there were some instances where, at least for action items, you know, there may be materials and guidance coming forward for property owners who have maybe historic properties, right, in this community. Is the intent there to kind of help work with individuals to sort of say, like, hey, you may be living in a historic place or property or whatever site, right? I mean, is that an ongoing process too?
Yeah, I mean, I can't say we've made much progress on that right now, but we want people to know that there are resources out. Someone did say, you know, I do live in a historic house and I am interested in getting it, you know, on an inventory. And I will just, since we just used the word inventory, I do just want to clarify, since I am a cultural resource professional, I deal with this all the time. You know, there's sort of two levels of designating historic sites or buildings. And an inventory is just a list of things that exist. So an inventory makes no judgment on whether something is important or significant or eligible or anything like that. It's just an inventory. So the state of Alaska maintains an inventory of archaeological and historical resources. So, you know, a professional like at a museum or someone on the HPC could add something to that inventory. And so it would just go on there and it would get a state site number, but it doesn't really mean anything except for that people can see that it, other professionals can see that it exists. The next level would be a register. So the National Register of Historic Places is the national registry maintained by the National Park Service. And that historic properties have to have a very high level of significance and integrity to become listed on the National Register. And we actually have four properties in our city that are already listed, which is amazing.
Can you list those? Can you tell us?
That is the Russian American Magazine, which is the building the Kodiak History Museum is in. A lot of people know it as the Baranoff Museum. The Holy Resurrection Orthodox Cathedral downtown, the American Cemetery on Upper Mill Bay, and the Experimental Barn, which is right next to the library.
Oh, yes. I did see that recently.
Yeah.
And you're working on potentially getting the Griffin Memorial Hospital nominated.
Yep. Right. And if people don't know the name of that building, it's what a lot of people know of as the former public health clinic
public
downtown.
Public health is there and environmental conservation. Mm-hmm. And it's just a beautiful building. And it's last and incredible through, and it has a great history that some of that is, those stories have come up with the Gray Nuns and Dr. A. Holmes Johnson working in the hospital and the reason for the hospital and was significant. So all those stories lend itself to learning about who we are, and that building's still standing even after the earthquake. And you can just go downtown and take a look at up on the hill, and you'll see some houses that survived the earthquake that have been there for a long time. And, you know, some little cabins up behind there, up behind the Best Western. So it's just understanding those, maybe not taking it to the National Register, but just having that list of those buildings in town and recognizing them, because I think there are a lot of those.
And we can create our own local register.
Right.
So that there are recommendations in this plan for how to create a local register, because the really important thing about creating a local register is we can choose the criteria that are important to us and our community and the types of resources that we have. Because the National Register has very strict set criteria that properties have to meet, and then they have to have a certain level of integrity to also fit on to be eligible for the National Register. And we could create a registry that sort of fits with our values, where we could have things that might be locally important but not important on the level that would be listed on the National Register. Or we could decide, hey, these properties are really important to us, even if they don't have integrity, mm-hmm. even if the building has collapsed, mm-hmm. or even if it doesn't exist anymore, we can still create our own local way of recognizing that.
I think that certainly would be a good goal to have for the commission, and having that list, that local list, because of those people who are still with us and survived the earthquake and tsunami. May have been in one of those houses, but they have stories and they're still here. That's who we need to contact or have their input so that we have an understanding of what happened and where those people were during that traumatic time.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Molly. Sorry.
One of the questions that I get a lot is how old does something have to be historic? And if you're talking about the sort of legal side of things, like the laws that pertain to historical resources, generally it's 50 years, but that's not a hard line. And that's something that a local commission can also sort of tailor to the needs of our community. Just because something's over 50 years old doesn't mean it's important or significant or it should be saved, but it just sort of, that's sort of the trigger of, we should really think about this before we consider what might happen to this archaeological site or historic building or historic place, you know. And so, you know, the 1964 earthquake and tsunami was a really big deal for our community, and everything from that time and all of the things that were built right after that really are historic. And even, you know, the king crab fishery, you know, all of these kind mm-hmm. of fisheries that happened in the 70s and even a little bit more recently, those really kind of are historic. And it is important for us to think about all of those stories and the places that go along with them, and how do we want to think about preserving those things for our future.
So Molly was mentioning the museums that we have in our community. We're very lucky to have such strong representation of different histories of our community. And with the Aleutic Museum and the wonderful capital project that they've redone, and it's just an amazing, and the same is true of the Kodiak History Museum and their rebranding and new exhibits. And so we have the Kodiak Maritime Museum now has a couple of houses that were donated to them, and hopefully they will I know they're everybody's looking for storage space, and that's the problem of having a museum. But of having them rise up a bit, because they're the only maritime museum in the state. So, but having those museums, we're very lucky here. I have to pull a plug in for all of the museums in our community, and hopefully our residents will continue to support them. It's most important.
Well, and that goes to also a piece that was incorporated into this plan was, you know, I know each of the commissioners looked at signage and the visible mm-hmm. representation right. of preservation or historic preservation. And it seems like you're also looking at interpretive panels, a historic sites interpretive panels project. Could you kind of talk about that and how that may help visualize our history here in Kodiak?
Yeah, we don't have anything concrete yet, but this is something the commission has been talking about for the last few months since this plan was finished, because there was a lot of public feedback about how do we find out about historic sites in the city? How do we find out about what buildings are historic? How do we find out about archaeological sites in town? And so one of the ways that the city could address that is by more interpretive panels that share Kodiak's history, that are in public places that can be accessed by anybody. You don't have to go inside a museum or be there when the museum is open. And so that's something the commission will be talking about tomorrow. So we don't have anything concrete, but we're talking about it, and we'd love to hear some public feedback if people want to come and listen.
So one of the things that I personally feel is important is having some wayfinding in our community. And that this isn't just for tourists, this is for us. You know, as Molly was describing these historic places, and simple things, okay, this is where we have the four architectural, the buildings that are registered. Okay, how do we get to those, and what's the information about each of those in a panel? You go to other cities in this country, outside of the country, and they promote their history. And I just don't think Kodiak has done a very good job with that. This is a plan and a foundation to raise us up a bit in doing that. But for our residents and the tourists, that's fine. But for our students and those historic people who are over 50 and bringing their stories back, it's just most important.
Perfect. Well, I think that is a wonderful place to end it. Our time is already up. So with the last few seconds here, I'm just going to reiterate the Historic Preservation Commission has a meeting tomorrow. Molly, could you share the time and details and how folks can participate in that?
The meeting is tomorrow at the Kodiak Public Library in the multi-purpose room at noon, and people can attend in person or view the live stream link on the City of Kodiak website.
And that's also where you can find a copy of this historic preservation plan, Kodiak's first. It is comprehensive, as we've discussed, but it is worth the read, and there are also copies in the library as well.
That's right.
All right. Well, thank you, Pat and Molly, for joining me today. I really appreciate you coming on Talk of the Rock to talk about this.
Thank you, Davis, and KMXT.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us.
All righty. And we'll throw it back to Terry in the studio, and we resume our regular programming here on 100.1 FM.